How's it going this morning, everybody? Pretty good? I like hearing that. So I've got a question for you. How many of you like the dark? Anybody? Anybody? Hey, we got one. That's impressive. A whole lot of us definitely don't like the dark. And so one thing that I don't like, and I'm not a big fan, is this time of year, have you noticed there's less and less light outside? There's less and less light outside. There's less and less light inside. That's just how things roll sometimes. But God's love is a light that doesn't go out. And so no matter where we're at, no matter where we are, no matter who we're with, God's love is a love that is always with us. God's love is a love that is always present. And God's love is like a light that just radiates from us and from everybody, connecting all of us all the time. It's one of the most amazing things that we can ever have, that we can ever experience. And it's something that we have to be thankful for, especially at this time of year when we're preparing for the coming of the Christ child. Can you guys pray with me real fast? Great and loving God, we give you thanks for your light and your love. May you always use us as bearers of your light and love to the world, as we always try to be more like you in all that we do. In your great name we pray, through the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you so much, guys. So our scripture this morning is going to come from two different sources. The first is the book of Isaiah. And Isaiah is one of the prophet of prophets almost out of the Old Testament. And a lot of what Isaiah was talking about is what we are focusing on here during the Advent season. And that is the coming of the Christ, the coming of the Messiah, the coming of love and light into the world. And our second scripture this morning ties with it, because there's this long period of time between the time of Isaiah and the time where Christ comes onto the planet. And so what we're going to look at this morning is the promise of this light to come, and then the fulfillment of that promise, the fulfillment of that wonderful light that comes to be with us.
The first reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall come, he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. On that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. The gospel lesson for today is from the second chapter of the book of Luke. This is after Jesus' birth, so we take a step back back in our Advent journey and go to the place where Jesus is brought to the temple after his birth. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." The word of God for the people of God.
Amazing God, we ask that your Holy Spirit fall upon us as it fell upon Simeon. May we rejoice in the coming of the Christ child. May we live into the roles and the spaces and the places that you place before us. In your great name we pray. Amen. So on Friday evening, in this very space, we had a wonderful piece of theater. I don't know how many people were here to see it. I see a few hands. For those of you that weren't able to see it, I'm sorry. It was a one-time only thing, but it was a great performance. We put on a production of the best Christmas pageant ever. And the story of this play centers around this time of year at a church, and the church is trying to put together a Christmas pageant, and things just aren't going right in any way, shape, or form, which is often what happens with Christmas pageants. So it's a very truthful story. And in the midst of all of this, there's a family that shows up who are kind of on the edges, on the fringes of the community that they live in, because they hear that there's going to be treats provided if you're in the Christmas pageant. And so this family of hooligans monopolizes all of the major parts of the Christmas play. But because they're not too familiar with the church, because they are not too familiar with the story, they have to learn the Christmas story for the very first time. And one girl in particular, the one who winds up playing Mary, really, really gets into the story. She gets confused by all of the terrible things that are happening to the Holy Family, and she points them out left and right with lines like, "What do you mean King Herod's going to kill the baby? What's wrong with him? And the innkeeper has some serious problems. If he's not going to make room for a pregnant woman, I would set him straight." She comes to see the injustice that happens to the Holy Family, and it winds up touching her deep down. And I would suspect, even though it's a fictional story, that it changes the character's life. She internalizes the plight of the Holy Family, and she really does become someone of faith by the end of the story, because she takes on that story of truth, as her story. She looks through all of the chaos and the craziness that is this Christmas pageant, and becomes to see the true reason for why this pageant is happening in the first place. And my friends, we're in the midst of this same challenge. This is the struggle that we find ourselves in the Advent season. How do we make room in our hearts for peace and justice when we live in a place, when we live in a world which is chaotic and unjust? Our world, the place that we live, is not a place of peace, let alone justice. And our world is one that relishes mass chaos. And it's into this situation, this place of chaos, this place of injustice, that we have to make room for the coming of the Christ child. It's in this situation that we know the baby is coming, whether we are ready for that baby or not. And right now, I think it's pretty safe to say that all over the world, things are not peaceful. Things are happening right now, in this very moment, that are unjust. And as we are sitting here in this space this morning, there are people in our city, there's people in our state, in our world, who are hurting. And it's into this space where we know that people are hurting and being treated unjustly, that the voice of the prophet Isaiah rings out and speaks and talks about the coming justice of God. A shoot shall come from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. The wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. On that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling place shall be glorious. Upon first hearing these words, you might not necessarily hear the justice that is present, but I guarantee you that that justice is very present. In order for the wolf to live with the lamb, the nature of their relationship, the nature of the relationship between the wolf and the lamb needs to be different from what we think, from what is stereotypically true. The predator and the prey have to be on even ground. They need to see each other as equal. They need to have the differences that divide them taken away. And Isaiah, in saying this, when comparing these animals, these predators and these prey, isn't just talking about sheep and wolves and lions and lambs. Isaiah is talking about how people interact with each other. He's talking about the ways that we come to hurt each other, whether we mean it or not. For you see, the people of his time weren't exactly treating each other with dignity or love. They weren't treating each other the way that being made in the image of God should automatically happen. The people in his time were hurting each other left and right. His people, the people of God, were split up by the powers of Babylon and were doing whatever they could to survive. And I don't think that it comes as too much of a shock that when you're struggling to survive, you're going to give behaviors that you would otherwise never do. And this is where Isaiah is talking. He is proclaiming that there would be a time where someone would come to change this whole system of being. He was also saying that this change would not just be for the people of Israel, but would be for the whole world. And that this change would come from the ashes of what his people were becoming. From the fall of Jesse, the father of David, would come a saving force that would change everything. My friends, this is where Isaiah was talking about the justice of God. That a person would come and would change the world for the better. They would bring a level playing field for each and every one of us. Now we know that we are not quite there yet. There are times where we continue to be the wolves in the lives of others. This happens because we don't approach each other with the dignity that we each deserve. And there's also times in our lives where someone else will be the wolf, where someone will take advantage of us. Now, we might not be the wolf all the time, and we might not be the lamb some of the time, but I doubt that there's a single person in this room who can say that they have never been the wolf or have never been the lamb. when people take advantage of other people, the need for the justice of God comes into the world. We need to be made right with God and with each other. The predator and the prey among people both walk away from their encounters changed for the worst, because each of them is no longer in right relationship with each other. There is a power dynamic. There is a shift that now exists that should never have come into being in the first place. This is something that now exists and that can only be fixed by God because of the amount of discord that we bring into our own lives. We need God to come and fix the situations between us that we have messed up. Isaiah prophesied that a fixing between people is exactly what would come to pass, and that the Messiah would be the force by which God would come to fix the world. Isaiah was a man who was far ahead of his time when it came to this message about God. These words about the coming good from the stump of Jesse sat with the Jewish people for nearly 700 years before the time of Simeon. And that's a long time to wait for the fulfilling of anything. But this is exactly what happened. No doubt after 700 years of waiting, the people of God were feeling fatigued by this promise. By this promise of justice from Isaiah that just did not seem to be coming, did not seem to be arriving. And it's in this fatigue of faith, in this fatigue of the people, that Simeon finds himself. But Simeon has always been and always will be someone who lived very strongly by his faith. He comes to live right at the end of this 700 year time, and something very drastic happens in his life. The Holy Spirit comes to rest upon Simeon and tells him that he will see the coming of the promised one that Isaiah was talking about, the Messiah of all humankind, before his life is over. Can you imagine how that would change someone's life? Being told by the Holy Spirit that you would see the Lord's Messiah before the end of your life, after nearly 700 years of that promise not being fulfilled. I can only imagine what it would have been like to be Simeon. The excitement that he must have felt knowing that he would see the Messiah. And I am sure, because people are people, that not everybody believed that he would see that child. No doubt there would have been people that would have written him off like, oh, that's Simeon. He says the Holy Spirit was upon him and that we'd see the Messiah, but nobody takes him too seriously. And I think that there's a potentiality that even I would be on the side of some of those naysayers. We've been waiting 700 years and what was supposed to happen has still not happened. And this guy is telling us that he's going to see the Messiah by the end of his lifetime. Siding with that is a difficult thing. Putting that kind of faith in the vision of another person is a difficult thing to do. It means that we have to relinquish some of the control that we have in our own lives for ourselves. It means letting a person in and opening ourselves up to the possibility of what can be. It means living in a relationship where God's justice has already worked and we are truly on the same level as our brothers and sisters. This is such a bold move that I know it can only happen when we come to rely on Christ for all that we need. For you see, with Christ, the seemingly impossible becomes reality. Now, I want you to think just how amazing this news would have been for Simeon. How it would feel if the Spirit of the Lord came upon you and told you that before you died, you would see the child that would change the world. That you would see the Messiah for yourself. How would that change your perspective? How would that change your approach to everything that you do? Would you continue to live your life in the same way you have always lived, or would you live your life in a different way? Put another way, how do you respond to the call of Advent? How do you prepare for the coming of the Christ child into the world? My hope is that after the shock of hearing the Holy Spirit is in your life, that you would be living a little bit differently. That we would all go to the temple just like Simeon and prepare ourselves for the coming of the child that is to change the world. And that every person that we meet, we would treat as if they were the Christ child, because you never know when that child's going to walk right through the door. This season, this Advent season, may we respond to each and every person that we meet and see as if they are the Christ child in our midst. Because if we truly approach every person that we meet in this way, God will be using us to be the body of Christ fully present in the world, and God's justice will be made manifest through us. At the end of the play on Friday, I apologize for the spoilers, but it was only happening once. This young girl playing Mary answered the call to listen to the Spirit, just as Simeon answered the call of the Spirit. She went to look for the place where the Christ child was coming into the world so that she could greet him with the whole of her heart. It didn't matter that she might not have come from the right family. It didn't matter that she was lacking many of the social graces that people would expect from somebody playing Mary. What mattered is that she prepared for the coming of the Christ child in her heart. Hear the good news, my friends. Christ is coming. The light of the world approaches us even now. The world will never be the same because unto us a child will be born. May you spend your time this Advent preparing for this child in your heart, making room for peace and justice in your life. Amen.